This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. A time at daybreak set especially apart to think on Him who is so dear to our hearts, singing and praying, communing as friend to friend, waiting patiently on Him our needs to attend, while sharing with hundreds God's grace from above, we worship and praise Him and learn more of His love. Let's worship Him together, shall we? Jesus, who is the vision of my heart and soul.
Lord God Almighty, who
people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. An amazing story that took place there in the wilderness after the people of Israel had left Egypt's bondage on their way to the promised land. And because of their complaining and murmuring, God sent fiery serpents among them, and many died. But as Moses obeyed the Lord, and he made the serpent of brass a symbol of the very thing that had bitten the people and destroyed many of them, and lifted it up on a pole with the instructions that anyone from now on who is bitten of a serpent, let him come near and look upon that serpent of brass, and he won't die, he shall live. Now may I turn the pages over to the New Testament and the Gospel of John chapter 3 and a conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus. This now is nearly 1,500 years later after the story that took place there in the wilderness. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that amazing how Jesus took a story that had taken place nearly 1,500 years earlier, and he said, in effect, to Nicodemus, That was me. That was a prefiguring of the crucifixion. So that anyone bitten by sin, if he will look upon me, he will not die but live. The story is told of Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of the 1800s. When he was just a teenager, 15 years old, he went to church one Sunday night during a snowstorm. The regular preacher couldn't be there because of the weather, and so a layman brought the message. He preached from the book of Isaiah, Look unto me and live. And while he was preaching, he looked down at this teenager, Charles Spurgeon, and he said to him, Young man, you look perfectly miserable. Look and live. And Spurgeon said that night, I looked and I lived.
Look and live. Look and live. Look and live. By the message from the Lord, hallelujah, the message unto you I'll give. Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that
made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name, hallelujah, I trusted and he saved my soul. Broken leg, my brother laid, look to Jesus Christ and live and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live.
Far from the world, O Lord, I flee, from strife and tumult far, from scenes where Satan wages still his most successful war. The calm retreat, the silent shade, with prayer and praise agree, and seem by thy sweet bounty made for those who follow thee. There if thy spirit touch the soul and grace her mean abode, oh, with what peace and joy and love she communes with her God. Praise to thee, Lord, for this day, for what it shall bring, or for what it shall take away, for what it shall offer, or for what it shall require. Praise to thee, Lord, for color, smiles, friendship, love, for beauty, little boys and little girls, for light, grace, mercy, truth, and rest. Praise to thee, Lord, for darkness, trials, cares, blisters, for labor, sorrow, tears, struggle, for exhaustion, burdens, fears. Praise to thee, Lord, because thou hast promised to make it all good to the heart that loves and trusts in thee. Praise to thee, Lord. I enjoy these moments that we can spend together in 30 minutes, a full half hour of morning devotions. How we need these times. It certainly brings great benefits to all of us who share together in morning devotions, because during this time our soul worships God. Oftentimes there is no one else around to hear your words and your sentiments or to see the tears. It is a time of being alone with Jesus and worshiping God. It is a time of self-examination. We pray often David's prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It is a time when burdens are lifted. As the psalmist said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." That is certainly what we endeavor to do during these times of devotion, is to take the heavy burden that's too heavy to carry and to commit it into God's hands, to quit our worrying, our anxious moments, our fears, and to start trusting God and cast our burden upon the Lord. These devotions are a time of refreshment and strengthening. As David said, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." It is a time when joy can be restored. As the prophet Isaiah declared, "With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Or as the psalmist said, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So many times our hearts become sad and despondent, and that is not God's will. Jesus told us very clearly that he came to bring us joy. "These words have I spoken unto you, that you might have joy, and that your joy might be full." It is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy. God doesn't want us to be sad and despondent and depressed, but he wants us to be happy in Jesus. So these times of morning devotions, when together we lean our arms upon heaven's windowsill, gazing into the face of our Savior, and then with that vision we turn strong to meet our day, can be a time when joy is restored to our hearts. Peace comes to us in these moments. As we worship the Lord, as we turn the focus of our soul off our problems and anxieties and cares, and we get our eyes upon Jesus, then is fulfilled that scripture in Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These times of devotion will bring peace to our hearts as we worship the Lord. It is a time that helps to clear my vision. It gives me a right perspective. There's so many things we don't understand in life. Until we go into the sanctuary of God, then we understand. Lord, clear up our vision. Things that seem totally unfair, things that don't make sense at all. As we sit at Jesus' feet, we begin to understand. These times of devotion help to sweeten our human spirit and to help us to be rooted and grounded in love. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. There are plenty of things that happen to us that can certainly make one's life harsh and mean and bitter, and grow old, cynical, and calloused. But these times of renewal, where together we sit at Jesus' feet, where we enjoy breaking bread together in communion and fellowship, as Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And in these times of devotion, God can restore love in our hearts. You neglect devotional prayer, and you become harsh, resentful, bitter, confused, difficult to live with. But you live in the atmosphere of Calvary, and there is no way you can hate anybody, no matter what they have done to you. That's one of the purposes of these devotions, is to help us to be rooted and grounded in love. Yes, there are many things that hurt us, and the way people treat us, that can cause one to grow bitter in life. But we know that is never God's will, no matter what anybody has ever done to you. Do you think they have been as mean as they were to Stephen when they cast stones at him? And as he fell asleep in God's arms, he said, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge." Had they done something worse to you than what they did to Jesus? And as he was nailed to the cross, he looked down at his persecutors and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How can we allow any root of bitterness, just an ounce of resentment in our hearts toward anybody, if we have not suffered as Jesus did, we have not suffered as Paul did, we have not suffered as Stephen did, we have not shed blood resisting against evil? And yet I know, and you know, there are plenty of things that happen to us in life that seemingly are totally unfair and very hurtful. The slights and injuries and hurts of others. But you can't allow bitterness in your heart, and you can't be unforgiving. Well, there are times that that's impossible to achieve. But in times of devotion, when we are sitting at Jesus' feet, you know what happens? He takes out of us everything that's negative, everything that's offensive and hurtful and mean and ugly and nasty and impure and hateful and resentful. He just flushes us out of all those things, and in their place, he pours in his love and forgiveness and long-suffering. Devotional prayer helps me to handle pressure, overcome anxiety, win over depression, escape from loneliness, get rid of resentments. And it fills my heart with the love of God. This isn't something self-manufactured. This love I'm talking about is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God fills our hearts and minds and emotions. And then He makes you a blessing to others. What is your desire today? What is it that you really want? Is it your desire to be like Jesus? Is it your desire to walk closer and nearer to Him? Oh, I trust that it is so. Because when it is our desire to know Jesus better, we're going to know Him better. When it is our desire to walk closer to Jesus, we're going to find that closer walk. Oh, God bless you this morning, and may He draw us to Himself.
To be like Jesus, it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, often I fail and brought Him much shame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see the way. I too was once so lost, but I found
listening to Morning Devotions during the past 30 minutes. This is John Thresher, and I have really enjoyed being with you during these times. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Always happy to hear from my listeners out there in that unseen audience. Oh, may the Spirit of God touch you today in fresh ways. And may the heavenly breezes blow into your life anew. Have a good day. God bless you abundantly.